I go back to the scripture in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. We're talking about maintaining the divine flow of provision. And how many know the things God's called you to do, you can't do in the natural. And you're in a situation, not just in this country, but around the world, where people are under stress financially, they're under pressure. But how many know God is your source?
Amen.
And He has a million ways to resource you. But that said, His everlasting covenant of peace is with us, Isaiah 54. But you and I have some responsibility in terms of positioning ourselves for that constant divine flow. And it says, given it shall be given, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, how many believe that?
Yes.
If you have a red edition, you know those words are in red, that Jesus spoke those words. And you'd be amazed how many religious people try to say, well, that doesn't really mean what it says. Just take the word at face value, you're going to have an amen.
Amen.
You know, my wife Kelly was telling me this the other night again, that when she met me when I came here in college, she got a hold of a scripture. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And she just read that scripture and believed that scripture, and then unknowingly apply that scripture to me. And everybody say, just faith like a child. And you know, I ran hard, but that scripture worked for her. She delighted herself in the Lord, and the Lord gave her the desires of her heart. Now there's, 15, 25, 30 theologians that would try to talk you out of that. You're not smart enough. You don't understand these. You can't possibly comprehend. You're misinterpreting that. Listen, it's not misinterpret. Delight yourself. Make the Lord the greatest source of pleasure in your life, more than anything else in your life. Delight yourself in the Lord and the things of God, and He will what? Give you. I believe He will plant desires, but He'll also grant desires in your life. And that's what you have to do when it comes to these promises. Don't let people talk you out of them. Just because they're cynical or because they have a better idea or because they think they have a series of degrees behind their name to make them smarter than you. You know, in the Catholic tradition, that's what they told people for hundreds of years. You're just too stupid to understand what the true meaning of the word is. Well, you're not. You have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Say, I have
the mind of Christ.
Say, I have upon me the spirit
of wisdom
and revelation. And so when you take scriptures like Luke 6:38, you can make up your mind to let somebody talk you out of that, or you can just believe the plain teachings of Scripture. Well, I wonder what the real meaning of that is. The real meaning is give and it shall be given. Say it. It says give and it shall be given. And I believe this. For years I've watched this. And some folks don't like these principles of the divine flow and the principle of seed time and harvest because they don't want to be givers. To embrace this teaching, you have to embrace being a giver. If you want to claim the blessings of Abraham, you have to claim the mission and the position of Abraham, and that is blessed to be a blessing. And so you understand the purpose of God's provision. He's going to certainly meet your needs, but He's going to make you a conduit of blessing and resource for other people. And how many know it really is more blessed to give than to receive? But if you follow these scriptures and honor God, He's going to do what His word actually says. So J.B. Phillips says of Galatians chapter 6, you can read this in verse 7 through 9, a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seeds that he sows. A lot of people don't like that as well, but that's what the truth is. We want to blame somebody else. We want to say they're holding us back. They somehow are dragging us down. But your harvest in life is dependent entirely upon the seeds that you have sown. Now that's great news if you embrace it and apply it. It's bad news if you want to be a victim. And there are too many of those running around the countryside, blaming everybody else for what's going on, when they can just go ahead and just set themselves and set their mind like a flint, I'm going to believe what God said and do what He said and see the benefit and reap the reward of actually doing that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. But there's a caveat. And the caveat is what? If you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, then all these blessings shall come up on you and overtake you. How many like things to overtake you? Anybody here ever been overtaken?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And, he has promised this, but watch what he said. Hearken diligently.
Yes.
to listen, that's what this word means, with such intensity that you will immediately apply the thing that you heard. In other words, hear and do. Say it, I'm a hearer and I'm a doer. You know, a lot of people are here, they're note takers, they're conference goers, they're TV watchers, amen. They're MP3 listeners, but are they doers? Are you doing the things that you are hearing? That's the key. And if you do, then you can grab a hold of this promise and trust that God's going to move in your life in this situation. Psalm 46, 4 and 5, God's blessings literally are like a river. The scripture says they fill the city of God with joy. The city is the holy place where the Most High God lives because God is there. The city will not fall. Listen, blessings like a river, that's what your life should be like. Why? Because you can't do what you're called to do by yourself. It's got to be bigger than you. And some folks have a mentality, you know, us four and no more. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. That is not a good life philosophy.
No.
How about get all you can and be a resource for other people?
Amen.
All right. How many of you have been in this long enough to know that God is not just the judger of your intentions, He's a judger of your motives?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
He knows exactly if you can be a person that he can trust with that kind of dynamic. So we're talking about the principles for maintaining that divine flow, and we covered several of these last week, and we'll move on this week. The first one is to keep forgiving. Say, I'm a forgiver.
I am a forgiver.
Everything hangs on your love walk. Jesus reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we need to be tender-hearted towards one another, forgiving others as what? God has forgiven us. Anybody here been forgiven of anything? Can I ask you that again? How many have been forgiven of something here? When you stop forgiving, the flow stops flowing. Why? Because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Doesn't matter how long you've been serving God, what you've been doing, you get into a place where you're not walking in forgiveness, it'll shut down. That's why don't base your walk on what everybody else is doing, everybody else is saying. Well, you're a pastor. You don't have a problem with this. Are you kidding me? I have 10,000 more opportunities to get offended than you do. And that's just before 9 a.m. Are you here today? You think that you can preach these things and not be exposed to assaults on these principles?
That's right.
Amen. But I've gotten better. She's not so sure. And we're all a work in progress, aren't we?
Amen.
But to be aware that you just can't go, you know, flying off the handle and you know, treating people in a disrespectful way and doing all kinds of horrible things and staying bitter and getting in a place where you're constantly in offense and unforgiving and expect your faith to work. It's just not going to happen. Sooner or later, there's going to be a wall to hit. And if that person's wise, they won't say, well, it's because of all of these people. They'll look in the mirror and say, it's because I stopped forgiving people. Do you understand that opportunities to get offended are going to be there every single day of your life?
Yes.
How often?
Every
single day. Sometimes all day long. You know, when you were a kid in grade school, I don't know if you did this or not, but sometimes we'd stick a sign on the back of a kid's back and say, kick me or hit me. That's the way some of y'all feel about offense. You know, am I walking around with a sign on my back telling me do something today to try to get me offended? That's the way it works.
Yeah.
Amen. But you don't have to take the bait.
All right.
Say this one more time. Faith
does not work
in an unforgiving heart.
An unforgiving heart.
It just won't happen that way. We are supposed to be dispensers of the same mercy and forgiveness and grace that we have received ourselves. And I think it's one of the biggest problems when God has been so merciful to us that we don't treat others with that same level of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, not the grudge takers.
That's right.
Not the bitter. And I've seen so many occasions where somebody will be the personification of that scripture. A bitter root rises up or springs up and defiles many. That tells me, first of all, that that thing springs up means it comes on very, very quickly. But it never stays put in that one vessel. We will not, listen, we don't infect people with the spirit we don't have. We infect people with the spirit that we do have. It is one thing for you to rob yourself of your divine flow.
Yes.
It's another thing for you to go around bringing other people into your fence and robbing them of their divine flow. That shows you not only do you love the person you need to forgive, it means you don't even love your so-called friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or you wouldn't be sucking them into that bitter thing and compromising their flow. Now, if you're on the receiving end of somebody's spreading of bitterness, just simply say, I love you, you're my brother, you're my sister, but I can't afford, especially this season of my life, to be sucked into the vortex of your bitterness.
Amen.
What if we lovingly told each other to start repenting instead of just accepting what they're saying in our ears?
That's good.
Amen. Do you know where the seeds of bitterness are sown? They go through your ears.
Yes.
And they grow up. Amen. So if you want to keep that divine flow going, you know, if you're going to believe God and you're going to praise God and you're going to serve God and you're going to be a tither and a giver and a sower, why compromise all that to be unforgiving? Amen. Glory to God. You can say amen or oh me, doesn't matter to me, one way or the other. Praise the Lord. Number two, remember this, keep sowing because your sowing must be a lifestyle. I know there are a lot of people that have a problem with the concept, and they call it religion, they call it Old Testament, they call it legalism. But remind yourself of this, that Abraham tithed 400 years before the law was given. Abraham was not a tither by law. He was a tither by revelation. There's a big difference in the concept. And when you go to Romans, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to be following in the footsteps of our father Abraham, who was what? The father of faith. So tithing is a matter of revelation, and it's a matter of faith, not of the law. Just because the law added it later doesn't mean that the law preceded the principle of the tithe. And so, you know, you have a problem that there are a lot of spiritual leaders won't talk about these things because they're afraid somebody's going to leave.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or they put this little hoard, you know, wooden box at the back of the auditorium so people can sheepishly give. When the reality is we shouldn't be letting our right hand know our left hand. We're not trumpet our giving, but we shouldn't be ashamed to embrace these principles.
That's right.
And the way I see it, for spiritual leaders and Sunday school teachers and those that man, you know, the pulpit and influence people in the church, if they don't teach these principles, it's ministerial malpractice is what it is.
Yes, it is.
Is you are holding these people back.
That's right.
Because you're afraid. You're afraid of the people, so you're holding the people back. Well, I got news for y'all. I ain't scared of you.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm more in fear of God for not doing what's necessary.
That's right.
Than somebody who doesn't like the principles. Well, I'll say this. If you embrace it by faith and revelation and you'll do it, haven't you found out that God does take care of the tither? He does take care of the sower. He is ministering in such a way that he's funding you and resourcing you. But it's not just about the tithe. It's about the lifestyle of a giver. Say, I'm a giver.
I'm a giver.
I'm a sower.
I'm a sower.
You have tithers' rights, and you have sowers' promises. And they're wonderful.
Yes, they are.
I said they're wonderful. Amen. The promises to a sower and the promises, the rights of a tither are just an amazing thing. But you have to accept the word of God at face value and believe it and act on it. Nobody can do this for you. Now, if you do, you're going to keep that flow going. And so where you're at right now in life, everywhere you go, you are a potential answer to somebody else's prayer and problem. And it's a wonderful way to live. Not being stingy and closed-fisted, but being open-handed as the Lord has been. And I know there's a lot of varying opinions out there about the principle and the concept, but Jesus makes it very, very plain. When he's looking at the treasury and he sees this widow woman do what? Put in everything she had. Think how Westerners think about things like this. Well, you know, Jesus wasn't watching, you know, with him. He wasn't impressed by her faith. He was actually disgusted by the manipulation that would cause a woman to put everything she had in the offering. That's because American Christians divorce themselves from their Jewish roots theologically. Just like you and I would have grown up reading stories of Jesus feeding the multitude, amen, and the nativity, little Jewish and you know, boys and girls would have grown up understanding the story of the widow in the Old Testament who gave her leftovers, amen, and God continued to cause the oil and the meal to flow.
Yes.
In other words, Jesus wasn't sitting there indignant because she felt they were manipulating her. She went to that treasure with faith in her heart, saying, if you did it for her back then, you'll do it for me now. That's the correct understanding of the Word of God. And guess what? If he did it for the widow of Zarephath and he did it for this widow, one of the questions I want to ask when I get to heaven is, Lord, what did you do for that woman? What did you do for that woman? Because I know he did something in keeping with the Word of God. If the prophet did something for the widow of Zarephath, Jesus did something for the widow with two mites. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And you know what? He hadn't changed. That's his nature, glory to God. So say it, I'm a giver.
I'm a giver.
I'm a tither.
And
be faithful at it.
Yes.
Amen. Number three, keep living right.
Amen.
Scriptures are just filled with principles targeting the church. You know, well, I have liberty. Your liberty is not to cause offense or a stumbling block to other people. There's a difference between what is legal for you and what is edifying to others. There comes a point in time where you're not here for yourself, you're here to serve other people.
Amen.
And so there are lists of these things. We've talked about this in Colossians chapter 3, 5. And of course, in 3 John 2, the application is, you know, the apostle wants you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. There are scriptures that talk about this. You know, you read the scriptures about sexual immorality and crossing lines. These things the apostle described as warring against your own self. You are actually warring. When you slip into sexual sin, you're actually sinning against yourself. You know, Peter talked about this, where there's a compromise of your life. It actually wars against your soul. Your soul, meaning your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you've ever wondered why some Christians are the way they are, and you say, you know what? They just act like they've got brain damage. This is why. Because they've been warring against their own mind, their own will, and their emotions. And so the idea that I can just, you know, tithe and give, come to church, you know, act like a Christian, and then live how I want to, you're going to stop up that flow. Flow works best in a holy vessel.
Yes, it does.
That's pretty pathetic for a church that has a holiness and Pentecostal background. Say, the flow works best in a holy vessel.
Amen.
And not, you know, not disparaging the things in the heart. Those things are critical, amen. But what's going on in the heart has a way of overflowing. And there are a lot of people giving themselves license to things they shouldn't be giving themselves license to.
All right.
That's right.
And say, well, that's just cultural. You know, it's no big deal. I'll tell you this, there are things that you can allow yourself to do, and by doing them, you basically damn yourself to mediocrity in this life spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The way the Lord spoke it to me, I mentioned earlier that I was raised German, and German Lutherans know how to drink. Thank you for the atmosphere music there. Nobody brought an accordion, I guess. And in fact, one of the last services I was ever in, there was an Italian dinner at our Lutheran church in Carbondale, Illinois, at Epiphany Lutheran Church, and everybody was served wine.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's strange to a Western Pentecostal, but that's just the norm. And so this was something in my own mind life I had to deal with, and the way the Lord dealt with me about this was, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about some substance. It was about what do you value the most. And this is exactly the way he told me. And I would say that you can apply this to anything you're watching, anything you're listening to, anything you're doing, anything you're exposing yourself to. He said this, that's right, you can do that. But you can't have the anointing and do that. And when he framed it in terms of God on flesh doing what flesh can't do, God super added to our natural, the power of God, that thing that you want to do in the flesh pales in comparison to what? The power of God operating in your life. In other words, it's not worth the anointing.
Amen.
And so from that point on, I began to think in terms of, okay, I could do this or I could be exposed to that, but I choose the anointing.
Yeah.
Come on, say,
I choose
the anointing.
The anointing.
And one thing we need right now is more power of God than ever.
Yeah.
We don't need a form of religion that denies the power of God. We need more of His power. People screaming, you know, legalism and, you know, clothesline preaching and all that stuff. No, it's not about that. It's about how can you be the most anointed version of yourself. And I decided I can't be the most anointed version of myself with a six-pack and a cooler.
That's right.
I know, some of you aren't convinced yet. Matter of fact, let's just go out to your car and see what's in the back of your pickup truck, amen? Let's raid your glove box for lottery tickets and your pickup truck for old cans of beer, amen? That's between you and the Lord. In other words, the Lord has so raised the standard to argue about this stuff is willing, you know, living way below your privileges and way below your responsibilities as a child of God. You flat don't need that stuff, but you do need the anointing of God in your life. So bottom line is just, you know, people say, Pastor, you're not coming to church, you know, and I'm trying to follow God when it comes to giving and sowing and walking around town with a sower's mindset, blessing other people, and yet doing things that are just egregious in terms of their own personal morality and wonder why it's not working out. Amen.
Amen.
I still believe that, you know, church folk ought to be married before they engage in sexual activity.
Amen.
There ought to be every amen in this here
amen.
Church. But you would be absolutely astounded in the Western church.
Yeah.
And you say, well, how can that be? How could somebody, you know, go to church and not respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Well, one, of course, you know, people can sear their conscience. But it would be absolutely irresponsible if I didn't tell you that a lot of people won't preach this stuff anymore.
No, that's true.
The only thing that matters is warm butts in the seat.
Wow. No, that's not right.
What matters is transformed people.
Yes.
That's the purpose. That's why you're here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. We, you know, as Todd was saying the other day, you know, people represent, well, those numbers represent lives, souls
that
need to find their way back home. But if you begin to adjust your preaching and if you're somebody who will reject that, you compromise yourself.
Yeah.
It's a problem. You get what you preach.
Yeah.
And if there's silence on sin,
that's it.
There will be sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can just forget about the divine flow. You'll be basically condemned to whatever you can do in your own strength. And what I've observed is when people reject God and His plan for the divine flow and go out there in the flesh, other things fall apart in their lives. The only way to be whole and sound in this principle is to do it God's way.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Number four.
All right.
You need to keep thinking right.
Yep.
Make sure every day that you're exposed to the Word of God. And when the Word of God runs into something that is in your thought life, some stronghold that's not correct, that's inappropriate, who has the responsibility, according to the Word of God, to cast it down?
Me.
You have the responsibility to cast down the vain imagination and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, which means thoughts that contradict the Word of God.
Right.
You have to do this, and your mind isn't going to stay renewed any more than your hair stays combed. You've got to continue to do this in your own life. We understand in Romans chapter 12 that, you know, we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable act of worship. Amen. Do not conform to this pattern of the world, but be transformed by what?
Ooh, yeah.
By the renewing of the mind. There is no transformation without the renewing of the mind. There's nothing that happens in a church service in your daily life that's going to cause that. Now, the encounters with the Holy Ghost are transformative, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, His power, His goodness, amen, that's transformational. But the primary role in your life, the primary transformative role in your life as a believer is to expose yourself to His Word and renew your mind and keep it renewed. In other words, again, J.B. Phillips, you know, don't let the world's, you know, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And that's exactly what it's trying to do. That's why now in every Hallmark Christmas movie, Lord bless me. There's got to be the token gay couple. To squeeze you into thinking this is normal.
Yeah. It is not normal.
And what violates God's word is never going to be
normal.
That's right.
It's an agenda.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with condemnation. God loves everyone. He wants everyone to come into the knowledge of the salvation of his son. I mean, everybody has the opportunity.
Amen.
That's their sin. What was your sin?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But when you begin to take things, because your mind's being what? Corrupted or being squeezed into a mold. And you begin to make excuses for that and say, well, you know what? That's an old-fashioned teaching. You know, we're enlightened. You never get enlightened by embracing darkness.
No.
That's not going to happen.
No.
You're not enlightened.
No.
Your understanding according to Scripture is getting more and more darkened. You don't have to condemn anybody to hold to a moral standard. Now, Hallmark's got more problems than that, but the bottom line is, you know, you and I have a responsibility to keep our minds renewed. And little by little, the devil wants you to you know, hold your guard and lose your guard and begin to adjust your thinking so it's at least an acceptable level in your mindset. And it's not acceptable. Amen?
It is not.
There's light. And there's darkness. And how many can say with praise to God that he has moved you out of darkness into his marvelous light? Why would we want to go back again? Why would we want to go back into a place of darkness when he has delivered us, you know, from that? Well, you neglect exposing yourself to the word of God. Neglect renewing your mind over a season. You'll begin to re-embrace things. Make excuses for things. Rationalize things away. So you want to stay in the divine flow, keep your mind renewed. Amen?
Amen.
Keep thinking right.
Amen.
All right. Say,
I receive that.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In fact, you'll find that this is where the battle is.
Yes.
The devil says one thing, the world says one thing, God's word says another. Always stay with what God said.
That's right.
God's word is perfect.
Yes.
It's eternal.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It is pregnant with the power to bring itself to pass.
Amen.
Nothing else you ever expose yourself to has that kind of authority or dominion. Nothing. And yet it sits on a shelf. It's too quiet in here. You stay quiet, we'll start singing, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Say, my mind
will not stay renewed
anymore than my hair
will stay combed.
And Rodney is saying, now, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute now. I'm pretty consistent on that one, praise God. So keep forgiving, keep sowing, keep living right, keep thinking right. Number five, keep believing. You know, and Jesus speaks to the Pharisees in John 8, and Scripture says to the Jews that believed in him. And I want you to go ahead and open that Scripture and put your eyes on that, because it emphasizes the critical element of not just listening or receiving something, but the critical component of actually continuing in the things you have received. Paul told his son, "But as for you, continue in what you learned and have firmly believed, since you know from where you have learned them." 2 Timothy chapter 3. But this concept of renewing and this concept of exposing yourself to truth, what you believe, it's not good enough to believe it for a day. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You need to believe it and believe it and believe it and consistently believe it. Say, I'm a believer. In verse 31 of John chapter 8, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching or continue, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Will what?
Yeah.
Will set you free." There is no freedom if there is no continuing. You get excited over a sermon, over a service, you know, or some revelation, and, you know, for a few days you're on a spiritual high. No, we just need you to be consistent. Paul said you need to continue in the things that you have learned and believed. Your faith walk is a marathon. You've been taught a lot about the principles of faith. The Bible tells us it's a prescribed way to live. The faith shall live by what? The just shall what? Live by faith 4 times in Scripture. We understand that we walk by faith. And what? And not by sight. But that just isn't going to do the trick for a day or two. Because you get excited or you heard a speaker and it stirred you. It's continuing to believe over the long haul. How many have found out that sometimes there's a distance between when you say amen and then you say there it is? How many like the process to speed up? Well, sometimes there's a set time to that. There's a birthing that's involved in that. I mean, you may be expecting a baby, and ladies, you may want it to come 4 months early. I wouldn't blame you. But all the hoping and praying and confessing isn't going to happen. Maybe a few days or hours, but there is what? There is a conception, there is an amen, and there is a birthing. There is a principle there that is true. There is such a thing as due season in the things of God. Yes. So what do you do between the amen and there it is? You continue to believe what he said. The most powerful things, you know, you can hear during the, you know, the nativity story and the season of Christmas when you have ears to hear, when you hear the scripture say of Mary, Mary pondered these things in her heart. Say that, Mary pondered these things in her heart. We know that she believed it. She said, may it be unto me according to what? That doesn't mean she understood it. No. I mean, we don't understand it today.
That's right.
Does anybody here understand the divine conception of Jesus Christ in the natural?
No.
It's not supposed to be natural.
Uh-uh.
It's supernatural. Amen. It's a divine act of God. So this idea that I have to be able to process something, understand something, analyze something to believe. No, you can make the conscious decision, may it be to me as you have said. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, you can go along and ask honest questions like, how is this going to be since I know not a man? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. You know, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing to think about this, but you've got to be prepared to stand forever.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Oh, it's a whole lot better to stand in faith. Even if you never see the manifestation.
But
if you're prepared to stand in faith, you're going to see a whole lot more manifestation than if you got into a place of compromise.
Yeah.
A lot of folks don't understand that. We don't teach you to live in a little bubble.
No.
And if you're a person of faith, nothing bad's ever going to happen. You're never going to have any challenges. No, we preach quite the opposite.
Yes.
Have faith, get attacked.
Yeah.
You got a big old bullseye on your back.
Yep.
Mark 4 says, when what? Trouble or persecution comes because of the word. If you're a word person, you're going to be attacked, assaulted. You're going to have challenges. But here's the good news. With that faith, you can overcome everything the devil throws at you, everything this world throws at you, every challenge that you have. That's how powerful it is. Amen. So I'm going to stand in faith between the amen. And there it is. And I got a lot of things in process.
Yeah.
And how many got some things in process?
Yes.
How sad would it be for you to get within a few months, a few days, a few weeks of seeing the thing manifest, and all of a sudden you get discouraged and throw your faith down? How sad would that be? Anybody here believe in God for something?
Woo! Yes.
Just keep believing God for it.
Amen.
Amen. Continue in the things you have learned. And you've heard of. I've seen a lot of people shipwreck on these things. You know, they give their ear to voices out there and they begin to compromise in the things that they believe. I'm standing in a church today that still believes in the supernatural power of God, still believes in miracles.
Yeah.
Honestly, has anybody here ever seen God do a miracle?
Woo! Yeah!
Apparently, no.
Yes.
Well, the first miracle you've experienced is the new birth.
Yes.
So you've already seen what? An amazing miracle of God. But, you know, my personal, not I wouldn't call it a pet peeve, it just disturbs me because of the potential of people listening to the nonsense, but a lot of these Western Reformed preachers and teachers that are now famous for telling you that the Holy Ghost and His ministry is not what we preach, the cessation of the gifts, miracles don't take place. And so this one fellow who is infirmed, he has some issues. I don't even know what the issues are. But his infirmity informs the Scripture instead of the Scripture informing his infirmity. In other words, his experience clouds everything that he teaches. And so he boldly proclaimed that I've been to 36 countries preaching and teaching. And I thought, boy, I hate that I missed it. Going around the world saying that these things have passed away.
Wow.
That God does not do these anymore. That the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit is about conviction and about teaching. It has nothing to do with the gifts. How many of you thank God for the gifts of the Holy Ghost? Where would we be without the present day ministry of the Holy Ghost? You know, I came out of denominational religion through the corridors of the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going back in. I'm going to be a word person and I'm going to be a Holy Ghost person. And so he said, you know, I've been preaching in 36 nations all over this country, you know, and I've never seen a miracle. Well, duh.
Yeah.
You go to Africa and you tell the people there are no miracles.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any.
No, right.
The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall what? Follow them that believe. So if you preach, guess what? You can expect that there will be what? Jesus working with them to confirm the word with signs following. Again, that's what he said.
Amen.
So you have to make sure that you pay attention to what he said over what they said.
Yes.
Somebody needs to pull the fellow aside and say, you know, 36 countries, and what did you preach when you went there?
Yeah.
I mean, these folks had a conference. People came from all over the world to listen to speaker after speaker after speaker say what God no longer does.
Oh my Lord.
I'd rather go back into a bar than to hear people telling me what God no longer does.
Wow.
Good news. Well, he doesn't do this, and you know that's not in order anymore, and he doesn't do miracles anymore. I'm like, y'all paid money. You got on aircraft. You went across the country and the world. You paid for hotel and meals to listen to people tell you what God doesn't do anymore. And we're the crazy ones? No, we believe.
Amen.
And these signs shall follow
them that believe.
We were in Hopkinsville. We had a lady who was told she was going to lose her right lung to cancer. And people prayed for her. She came down the altar one day and hands were laid on her. She came back 2 weeks later and every bit of the cancer was gone from her body.
Right.
Who does that?
God, Jesus.
Yeah. Who does that?
Rapha.
Yeah. We know the healer did that.
Yeah.
Amen. And I can tell you that he is faithful and he is able. Continue to press in and believe God. Say he's a miracle worker.
Yes, he is.
But if you go to church and every time you hear a word, it's a word, God doesn't do this and God didn't do that and God won't do this. Faith cometh by hearing, but so does unbelief and fear.
Yeah.
Come by hearing. Say these signs shall follow them.
These signs shall follow them.
That believe.
I believe.
And so basically all you have to do is put out the uncompromised word of God and he's going to do something. So I don't know where you're at today, but somebody in this room might be expecting something to happen because the word has gone forth. And since the word has gone forth, you can expect God to do something in your life.
Yes.
You receive that today?
Yes.
Say, I'm a receiver.
I'm a believer.
Now, my dad went home to be with the Lord 2 years ago at 88 years old. When I was in high school, he was diagnosed with an incurable disease called Wagner's disease. I've told most of y'all this story repeatedly. Talking about the God of miracles. 11 people in the world had the disease. 9 were dead. 10th was in Brazil dying. That's how rare this was. And he was being treated, through a Illinois physician and Barnes Hospital in St. Louis. And the researchers for this disease were actually in St. Louis. And so our family doctor said, I don't know what this is. He had just a weird combination of symptoms, eyes, joints, rash, all kinds of weird things. And when he got to St. Louis, they found tumors in the lower left lobe of his lung. And when the surgeon came out, he said, I'm going to have to remove that lower portion. And it's either the most aggressive form of cancer there is, or it's a disease called Wagner's disease. We're like, what in the world is that? And well, what's the prognosis with Wagner's disease? 100% death. That's the prognosis for it. But sure enough, they pulled out that part of the lung, and that's exactly what it was. But in 4 months, the markers were gone from his body. Amen. We'd have lost him when I was in high school, but God.
Amen.
There wasn't even the technology available to heal someone of that disease. But God. In these last days, you're going to see a lot of diseases that man doesn't know what to do with. It's not time for us to stop believing.
That's right.
It's a time to kick this into high gear and believe God like never before.
Yes.
So here's the man that's supposed to be gone. Then the devil tried to kill him by a Mack truck running into him, a steel truck running into him, and God delivered him from that.
Yeah.
And he went on. There's only one person on any side of our family in any branch that lived longer than him. And it's the man that was attached to Patton's armor division. From Africa all the way into Germany, this young man lied to get into the military. And he lived to be like 91 years old after facing all that threat in World War II.
Yeah.
Amen. He was a character. I'm just simply telling you that miracles are a lot more prevalent than people want to be honest about them.
Amen.
He is a miracle worker.
Yes, he is.
But you're going to get him by believing the Word of God. And sitting under the word that exalts the healer and the miracle worker and deliverer, and you agreeing with the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord. You got time for this last one?
Yes.
Number six, keep confessing the word of God. Keep forgiving, sowing, living right, thinking right, believing. Keep confessing what the word of God says. Again, you don't have to go to, you know, some other state or some other time frame or read somebody's mini book to understand this. This principle comes straight from the mouth of Jesus.
Amen.
Say it with me. I believe
what Jesus said.
Do red words matter?
Yes.
This particular Bible, there's no red words in it. But it's what he said.
Amen.
Mark 11. Before Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord, people used to say to him, what you going to preach about? And he said, Mark 11.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, are you ever going to teach on anything else? And he said, when you get this, I'll move on. And here we are tonight, and we still really don't get this. Because our disciplined use of our mouth to be consistent with what God's word says, it ebbs and it flows. Okay, it just ebbs and flows in my life. Anybody else?
Yes.
And I don't understand this, but it's one of those revelations that you have to hear it consistently.
Right.
To continue to apply it to your life. Amen.
Amen.
I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it's interesting that our arms get tired, and our legs get tired, and our feet get tired, but our mouth never gets tired. So does that not mean we need to have something to subject it? We do. And in Mark chapter 11, you know this, in verse 12, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard him say it. Now, Jesus wasn't concerned about how he looked talking to a tree.
Right.
Didn't care one iota.
Right.
Perfectly natural for him to what? To speak to something he created.
Yep.
And you talk to it. And so right there, you'll find, again, the anti-supernaturalists, the secessionists, you know, the so-called reformed. I don't call them reformed. I call them deformed theologians.
All right.
I mean, they left the Word of God a long time ago to serve their own theology. But right then they say, well, that's just Jesus. It's almost like Jesus expected some theologian to say something like that. It's Jesus, and Jesus only does something like that. So what does Jesus do? In verse 20, in the morning as they were went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Now watch this. Have faith in God, or the God kind of faith, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. Shout that word truth out.
Truth.
So if this is the truth, then it's not a lie, is it?
That's right.
Now again, who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Who is speaking here?
Jesus
is speaking here. The fig tree you cursed is withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, well, that's just symbolism. Was that fig tree symbolism?
No.
Or did it really wither?
It withered.
If anyone says into this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him.
Woo! All right.
Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours.
Amen.
And part of believing you receive it is with your mouth. The implication is, yes, you can talk to fig trees, and you can talk to mountains, and in this part of the country, you can talk to tornadoes.
Yes,
amen. I remember that, a couple years ago when they hit this part of the region, I kept seeing Facebook posts of our people with their arms in towards the sky talking to clouds.
Amen.
Craziest bunch of people in Callaway County. You can talk to cancer cells.
Yes, you can.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Amen.
Not because some man said so, but because
Jesus, the
God man said so. This is what the teaching of the Word of God says. And yet this is one of the things that we slack on so often as believers. Doing a lot of things right, but somehow we just begin to come off of God's word and we forget to exercise our authority in the situation by saying what God says, by declaring what God says, by confessing what God says. Are you here tonight?
Amen.
Confessing is affirming something you believe. It's testifying to something you know. It's witnessing to a truth that you have embraced. You need to speak the desired content. Well, that must mean you're one of those name it and claim it and blab it and grab it people. Oh, it sounds real funny to say that, but people who have received this revelation and are disciplined with their mouth, they blab it and they grab it.
All right.
Woo.
Yeah.
Guess what? They name it and they claim it.
Yes.
You should never be deterred by the laugh of unbelief coming out of somebody else's spirit over a spiritual principle.
All right.
Because it happens to be what the Lord says. So what you do is you keep your believing in your heart consistent and your mouth consistent with that. That's how you got saved. You believed in your heart and you said with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. And what? Confession was made unto salvation. Well, don't we have official position papers to talk about positive confession? We're not talking about randomly saying positive things. We're talking about declaring what God said about something. And you have every right and responsibility to say what God said. And for you to say something different than what God said is to call him a liar. Amen. When I worked at the Blue Vatican, a.k.a. the headquarters building, I gave tours to people from all over the world and filled information requests, and we had these position papers, and this was one of them. The problem was the position paper was not ever voted on by the body itself. It was voted by 12 old men somewhere in a conference table. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Oh, don't let that stuff in your church. Don't let Jesus teaching in your church. What could possibly go wrong? Yes, people abuse this stuff. People abuse the doctrine of salvation, tacking on all kinds of requirements to it. Until you look at the thief on a cross and you realize he was never baptized, he never went to Sunday school, never gave a tithe in his life, probably never did a good thing in his life. And yet when he responded correctly, taking responsibility for his sin and expressing faith in the Lord and his coming kingdom, the Lord told him what?
Yeah.
today. You will be with me in paradise. And so they add all these things to salvation. So do we just throw salvation out because somebody abused a doctrine? Of course not. There is a man in Atlanta, he said, I got so much faith that I'm never going to die. That's how great my faith is. Is there a problem with that?
Yeah.
The problem is it's appointed to a man to die once and then the judgment. You and I will either go by way of rapture, which, by the way, if you haven't figured out now, rapture is instantaneous death and resurrection.
Yeah.
You still die.
Yep. Yep.
Go sleep on that tonight. It's appointed unto man to what? To die once. Take it from my grandma Anna. You're going to die. One way or another. You're dead. But it's such a fast process in the twinkling of an eye. How many say that's the way to go? Amen. Yes. So we don't throw something out because somebody made, you know, some ridiculous thing. So this guy that said he had so much faith, and like everybody else, that he would never die, guess what happened to him?
He died.
The point is not that he's never going to die when he know that that the last enemy to be defeated is death. And the last aspect of our glorification will be, of course, that resurrection. Amen. He's already working on our minds to renew them. He's already working on our emotions. He's already working on our lives spiritually. Amen. From the inside, your spirit man has been made in the image of Christ. It's perfect. But how do you know your body hadn't arrived yet? So if he'd applied it to length of days and strength of days, being strong and healed so he can carry out the mission God gave him, that's a proper application of that. But if you think I'm going to stop preaching faith or healing because some nutball in Atlanta said he would never die from faith, you're crazy. We don't throw things out because somebody doesn't get it or because somebody abuses it.
Amen.
And the bottom line is the doctrine of confession comes from the very mouth of Jesus, expounded upon by Paul in Romans 10. And the way you got saved is the way you get everything else in life. You believe in your heart and you say with your mouth. That came from what the Lord said. Amen. Just wrap this part of it up for you tonight. There are certain things you should be declaring over your life. You might want to jot them down. You can. First of all, what God in Christ has wrought for us in his plan of redemption. How many know that sin costs us a lot? Classic redemption is very simple. The wage of sin is death. The consequences of sin, spiritual death, sickness and disease, poverty and lack. Classic redemption, according to scriptures that give us insight, Deuteronomy 28 and others, means that we go from spiritual death to what? To eternal life in him. From sickness and disease to wholeness and soundness, amen. So you live out your days and do what you're called to do. And one day, including that redemption, is the redemption, amen, the full redemption of that body, a brand new you, glory to God. Nothing's going to pop, crack, or squeak when you get there.
All right. Woo!
Aren't you glad for that? And I like to say that nothing is popping, squeaking, or cracking in my life, but that would be a lie. But I'm not moved by the creaking. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Perfect, brand new, glorified body. Amen.
Amen.
You should every day say, you know what? Spiritual death to life. Amen. Sickness and disease to what? To healing, to wholeness, to soundness, and one day that resurrection or that translation, amen. And also from poverty and lack to abundance and substance. What we don't understand is when he died for you and for me and he shed his blood, redemption includes all of that.
Yes, it does.
The deformed theologians would tell you it only applies to you spiritually. No. That's a matter of man's opinion and speculation and not what the Word of God actually teaches. So what should you be doing? Every day you should be confessing your redemption.
Amen.
I'm born again. Amen.
Amen.
I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. I'm no longer in death. I am in life. Every day declaring that you're whole, that you're sound, your mind works. Amen.
Amen.
You're not ruled by your emotions. Glory to God. Your will is submitted to God. Your body works the way it was designed.
That's right.
You don't wait for something to happen. You speak over your life and keep your mouth on the goodness of God and what the Word says about your physical healing and restoration. And don't talk lack and poverty. Talk abundance. Talk amen, supply. Talk about your God being your source. How can you possibly see divine provision flow in your life if you're talking contrary to what God's Word says? Principles and the promises of God to take care of His people are overwhelming. Well, what about everything going on in the world? Yes, when there was darkness in Egypt, there was still light in Goshen. Amen. When there were a bunch of flies in Egypt, there were fly swatters in Goshen. Amen. There's always something going on in the hearts and lives of the faithful. And like I said before, you don't have to embrace this. But dear God, just because you want to embrace something, don't you dare try to talk somebody else out of it. I will never understand that. You don't want people to hear this. You don't want to receive it yourself. So why are you spending your entire ministry talking other people out of redemption? We ought to be talking people into their redemption.
Amen.
So one of your confession points should be the work of redemption. Number two, what God through the Word and the Holy Ghost has wrought in us through the new birth and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, celebrate your new birth every single day. You ought to celebrate the fact that you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and not be ashamed of it.
Amen.
Can I have a witness here tonight?
Amen.
Say, I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost.
I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost.
Say, I'm not ashamed
to be a Word
person
or
a Holy Ghost person. We need Him.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. We need His life and His wisdom and His power. And that should be part of your confession every single day. And by the way, you don't just rely on the baptism that you got back in 1968.
No.
You need to be being filled every single day of your life. And if you'll ask Him, He'll do it. Anybody here ever need a fresh filling? Anybody here ever feel dry? Confession shouldn't be, well, you know, that stuff's not real for today. No, it's real and it's available. And, if you want to drink and drink deeply of what He has.
Amen.
And be restored and consistently restored.
Amen.
What a blessing it is. Amen. I know it rocked my world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Third, what we are to God the Father in Christ Jesus. Just sometime do a study of all the things that you have in Christ. You have a right to confess every single one of those. In Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
And you know, today religious people still just basically bristle at the concept that they would be righteous. He's the one that made you righteous.
Right.
How many know if He suddenly declared that you were a frog, you'd be a frog?
Yep, that's right.
Anybody have any doubt about that?
Amen.
How many are glad He didn't do that?
Amen.
Amen. He made you
righteous.
Not hypothetically.
No.
Not one day in the by and by. When did you become righteous? The day you got born again. And righteousness is just one of the things in Christ you should be confessing. Therefore, what Jesus is doing for us now at the right hand of the Father. What's He doing? He lives to what? Intercede. You know that Jesus is praying for you and for me. What a blessing it is to know. Amen? He's not just sitting there saying, well, you know, can I go now? Can I go now? He is actually interceding. Agree with the things that He's interceding about.
Yep.
Amen. And last, be confessing what God can do through us or what His Word can do through our lips. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. A lot of people talk about what they can't do. You know, what's over. You know, what's past in their lives. It's never going to happen. Nothing ever good is going to happen in my life. And everything is basically gone. No, only if you say so.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I'm just looking at a bunch of spring chickens here.
Amen.
Time really is relative when you're an eternal creature. I ain't no creature. Yeah, you are. You're an eternal being.
That's right.
Never existed before until the new birth.
That's right.
Amen. I remember Brother Hagin saying this. He said, you know, and he was on his knees fasting and praying. And he said, God, you know, I'm just not seeing the miracles, not seeing the signs, not seeing the wonders. You know, and so maybe I just need to pray and fast a whole lot more. And the Lord reminded him that if he would just preach the word, unadulterated word, these signs would follow them that believe, that he would confirm his word with signs following.
Amen.
Amen. So what do you want to do?
Preach.
You want to keep saying what God says about you.
That's it.
Somebody didn't like that? Well, guess what? They don't have to.
That's the problem.
Don't let somebody's raised eyebrow, you know, somehow cost you your confession.
Amen.
I've said this before. Don't you understand already? You come to a spirit-filled church in a very religious part of the country. You're already weird.
Amen. Yes. Woo. I'd shake that.
So you might as well go ahead and live it up.
Amen.
I can only imagine what you guys are over there. Weird squared. Well, people are hungry, though, for the truth, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hungry for the power of God. Amen. And we're assigned, you know, here. So let's not cower in an intimidation because somebody may crinkle their nose up.
That's right.
No. Celebrate the truth because it's life-changing, it's transforming. Amen? So shout it out. Say, I'm going to keep on.
I'm going to keep on.
Forgiving.
Sowing.
Living right.
Thinking right.
Believing. And confessing. And what's going to happen is the divine flow of provision will just continue to move in your life. Amen. Let's pray about this tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, that your word is working in us and through us. Father, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're just on the path tonight to be reminded, you know, in the midst of busyness and everybody's schedule and everything that they're going through and dealing with, there are certain things they need to be diligent about. They need to be consistent about. And we thank you today for your understanding. We just pray that you would just seal these things in our heart, in our consciousness, and we would apply them immediately. We would be people who hearken diligently. We would hear with an attitude to do the things we've actually heard. We just thank you for it. And I thank you, Father, not just some preacher's life, Lord, but every person in this church, as they go forth declaring the word of God, you will confirm the word with signs following in their life. It's not relegated to a sermon or a church somewhere, but to the church, the body of Christ. We thank you, Father God, that you use them. They lay hands on the sick and they are recovering. We thank you, Father God. They're speaking life and seeing chains fall off of people. They're seeing victories unfold in their lives. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. Now, how many of you know if God tells you you need to make a course correction, how many are willing to make that course correction? Just if you want to make a change, make a change. If you're doing something stupid, make a change.
Amen.
Amen. Walking in unbelief, make a change. If you've been rationalizing something, then change.
That's it, right?
Amen. You know, I found out my life, if I had rationalized something, I really remember going through a season the first couple of years I was saved, trying to tell the Lord why I knew more than he did on this. Every time I laid that down, every time I stopped rationalizing that, you and I can convince ourselves that anything is okay. But I was always amazed at how God, in a very fast way, when I would finally repent of that and lay that down, how fast he would move in my life.
Amen. All right.
And he'll do the same thing in your life. But you can't sit here and say, well, I heard you, know, but that ain't that bad, and that doesn't matter. You can convince yourself all you want to, but his word stands. Heaven and earth will pass away. His word will not pass away.
Yeah.
It's wisdom to let your rationalization pass away. Amen?
Amen?
Just stick to what God's word said, glory to God. Let's give him a big hand clap and thank him tonight.